One of the big adventures was when we were adopting the children from Bogota, Colombia. I could only go down for 5 weeks, and that was important because we were working out the legal issues and how you got things done in Colombia for the first two kids we adopted. But she ended up having to stay because, again, of the way the rules were in Colombia at that time, for almost 12 weeks. And that was quite an adventure. And she then came back from that and became part of the crew in Ann Arbor, Michigan, that were Colombian American Friends, which was this inter-country adoption agency that we set up at that time. And Nancy was one of their primary persons to help people figure out if they really wanted to adopt a Colombian child at that time. That was how we got our third child, was Nancy working with the agency down in Colombia, and them saying, we're worried about this woman. She's 12 now, and if we don't get her adopted, it was a broken adoption is the reason they call. But that's how we got our third child. But all I'm saying is that piece of work that she did in Ann Arbor during that time period too, for about 4 or 5 years, was very important. I think what we ended up placing, didn't we, you guys say at one time it was about 500?
No, I think it was closer to 300, but
okay,
a bunch. We ran that as a place for finding children homes, not doing the opposite, which is finding children for families, and it's a very different thing.
But you lived in Colombia.
Yes.
And why?
Well, it took that long to get them out.
Yeah.
Oh, and you were introduced to that Colombia Adoption Agency in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So then what?
We started the one couple that were with the university. He was a teacher. They went on a sabbatical. The wife visited all the orphanages and began to get involved with that, and they adopted the first child. There was no program at that point. They came back, and Ted and I and another couple started the foundation.
Oh, you started the adoption foundation.
Yeah.
Wow. And we were the first ones to get
Then we became the guinea pigs. That is, we went down.
And you actually adopted.
Yes. And that was because we knew we needed to figure out what's really going to happen down there.
No, and we did that because the dog died.
And there we go.
And Ted baptized the two kids that came back before we started the program. He said, you know, I think we ought to adopt. We weren't going to have children. We were happy. Mm-hmm. I was happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were 11 years into marriage before we did our first adoption. But yes, John, I guess all I was trying to say, particularly Nancy, was at the heart of that. Once we got it founded, then she was one of the two or three women, right, that did the actual work with families, and then the FONTA, which was the name of the agency in Bogota that we worked with. And the idea was, as they got abandoned children, we would help them do placements. Yeah. That's why she said the thing about, our view was we would find families after there were abandoned children. We weren't trying to be primarily seen. We said, you know, there can be other agencies do the other. We were not opposed to families looking for children. But we said this other piece is missing, where there are actually abandoned children that need families. And that's why we set up Colombian American Friends.
So then you adopted three children. How old are they now?
Well, the oldest one, who's 12, was 12, is she's almost 60. And the other two are 50. We don't know what age is. We made them up.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably 51. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But well, one was found in a cardboard box in front of the orphanage. That was one of our daughters. And our son was found probably in a rooming house. And he was left there, and he cried and cried and cried and cried. And finally, she went into the room and saw him by himself. Mm-hmm. She wanted to take care of him, and then realized she really couldn't. So then she took him to an orphanage. Mm-hmm. But he would have died. They both would have died if we hadn't done that.
So you saved lives too. Did you have these children challenges in raising them here?
Oh my God.
There was. Okay.
Yeah. The oldest one, we had no idea the damage that had been done to her.
Mm-hmm.
She can't read, can't write still.
Mm.
And we've done everything imaginable to do that. But my colleague in the service called me that day, and she said, "We've got this young girl that needs a home." And she said, "I've worked on it all day, and I cannot find a family that will take her." And I said, do you have pictures of her?" And she said, "Yeah." And so she brought over the carousel with slides, and I set them up on the kitchen counter, and then Ted came home, and I said, "Honey, do you want to see our new daughter?"
And I agreed.
He came over and looked at the pictures and said, "Yeah, great. Sure. We spend more time choosing a carpet."
Mm-hmm. Right. Then, yeah, I'll take her.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So,
yeah. Are they living here in Tulsa?
They all are. Three all are. Daniel, our son, is a Le Cordon Bleu Chérin chef and has been living and working here in various restaurants, etc. He's now a manager for the Titan Athletic facility over on the west side of the river down that way.
Yeah.
And runs their food services, mm-hmm. essentially, for them.
The other two, are they?
They're both here. Samantha, our youngest daughter, but actually they're about 52 or 53 now. Mm-hmm. And the eldest is, I think, she will turn 60 this year. But as Nancy says, I mean, the agency didn't have any birth certificates on any of these mm-hmm. kids, so it was all guessing how old they were. But yeah, and then Rosa is here, lives with her husband, Steve, a guy who's Tulsa native. And we'd have a grandson. Rosa had a son.
Hmm.
And so he's still here, and he has a partner, Nicole. And so we have a family in Tulsa.
Right, right. And they're certainly aware of how you rescued them.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.